Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Hosea, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the first story taken from chapter 5 in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the chapter is Fred's Troubles. And the title of the podcast today is A Lack of Knowledge. Before we start with our story for today, we will conclude the internet article, 11 Top Tips in Becoming an Author That Really Works. We finished with tip number 7 the last time. So this show starts with tip number 8, which is try self-publishing. The article states that Amazon is a good place to start the self-publishing process. The big advantage of self-publishing is in the minimal costs, but you have to do your research and contract for certain services like proofreading and cover design. Tip number 9 is to take a creative writing class. This will allow you to communicate with future professional authors. Tip number 10 is to explore different types of writing. It is recommended that you try various writing venues like technical writing, copywriting, and freelancing. The last tip, number 11, is to create book sales. Here are some suggestions given on this aspect. Set up your author website, build an email list of engaged readers, run promotions regularly, and study and work with Amazon ads. We'll be back with our story after a break. Welcome back. Maggie's return to Chicago from her most recent visit to see her parents turned out not only to be disappointing for her, but it would be the first of many troubles for Fred. After the 4-hour drive from Detroit, Maggie certainly had a lot to think about. Somehow, she felt that she had to get her spiritual life back on track. Something that was derailed by the reemergence of Freddie in her life. She hadn't intended for things to occur the way they did, but because of her most recent experience, it let her know how dependent she needed to be on God and His direction for her life. And she knew that He would forgive her of her indiscretions. But yes, it was a wake-up call. Like Maggie had mentioned to Freddie, he had his life to attend to and she had hers. The challenge now for Maggie was to focus, that is, to refocus on her life and how she could reignite the feelings she always had for her husband, Fred. It turned out to be a challenging time to turn her spiritual life around because Fred had his own troubles. But again, her lack of knowledge of her husband's inward indiscretions would only have minimal effect on her. Finally, Maggie arrived home late that night. She had anticipated being with Freddie and not returning to Chicago until the next day, and that's what Fred had expected. But as fate would have it, Maggie again found herself next to the one she really loved, her husband Fred, instead of being in the presence of a past passion of hers, Freddie. When Maggie finally entered her house, she glanced at the clock on the wall. It showed that it was shortly after midnight. It reminded her of the time she waited on her first husband, John, to come home from working at the church at such a late hour, when she suspected him of being unfaithful. Nonetheless, John had expected Maggie to believe that he really was at work. While it was true John was with Katie, his assistant at Faith Methodist at the time, as it turned out, John had been with her for legitimate reasons, attending to church business. Despite the apparent innocence of John at that time, devious thoughts bombarded Maggie's mind. But she was hopeful that her husband, John, was being faithful to her, being truthful about what he was doing that night. Yes, John claimed he had been attending to church business when he confronted Maggie the next day, in which it turned out he was. Well, that was then and now is now. So as far as the present time, the tables had been turned around. Maggie now was the one returning home after midnight. Just as her previous husband John did to her, now Maggie had hoped to get her current husband, Fred, to accept her justification as to why she had been away, that being her intent on seeing her parents in Flint. When Maggie entered the bedroom, she found Fred fast asleep, so she didn't have to worry about explaining at that time why she was returning home so late. She would be spared the anxiety of convincing Fred where she really was. She again thought about her first husband, John, when he did not give an adequate account of where he was and what he was doing when he came home so late. His contention that he was just working beside his assistant Katie did not satisfy Maggie at first. Ultimately, however, it was Maggie's friendship with Katie that led to her eventually to believe and to feel comfortable with what he said and what had happened. But as far as this night is concerned, Maggie was spared from giving Fred an explanation of her return home so early from where he thought she had gone over the weekend, to Flint to see her parents. As Maggie arrived home from her trip, from Detroit, not from Flint, she found her husband fast asleep. So she quietly snuck into bed and soon had drifted into slumber herself. Let's take a break, and when we return, we'll see what happens next. Stay with us. Welcome back. Even though she was very tired from having a long drive from Detroit, Maggie's sleep was not sound. She dreamed about what could have been back in Detroit that night, had Freddie not dreamed what he did, that his wife and son were killed in an automobile accident. It had such an effect on him that he wanted to end his affair with Maggie right then and there and renew his own vows with his wife and relationship with his child. Maggie tossed and turned much of the night and at one time had dreamed of being close to Freddie. At that point, she called the name of the man about whom she was dreaming about. "Oh, Freddy! Oh, Freddy!" Maggie called his name out, not knowing whether her husband was still asleep or had been awakened by her movements. Her motions and slumber must have had an effect on her husband lying next to her. Fred was awakened briefly because of Maggie's tossing and turning. He was surprised that she was there. He had thought that his wife was at her parents' house, but he rationalized that she must have decided to return home because of the weather. Seeing that she was sound asleep, despite her movements, he went back to sleep himself. Before too long, morning came and Maggie awakened. When Maggie finally came to her senses after a restless night, she found that Fred was not there beside her. "Where is my husband?" she asked herself. Then she became aware of the aroma coming from the kitchen. It was Fred preparing breakfast for her. Then she heard Fred yell softly and with a caring voice, "Get up, Meg. Breakfast is almost ready." Maggie responded, "Okay, Fred, I'll be up in a minute. That food smells really good. Give me a minute or two." When Maggie got to the breakfast table, she felt that she had not yet gotten all the sleep that she needed after such a long day before. After seeing the bacon, sausage, home fries, and eggs that Fred had prepared, Maggie said, "This looks good, honey. I'm going to eat a little and then get right back into bed." Fred responded, "Okay, Meg, I know you've been on a long trip, and I assume that you decided to come back home early because of the snowy conditions you told me about on the phone. When you came in, I must have been dead asleep because I didn't hear you get in bed. I guess you stayed over in Detroit last night because of the weather." "Yes, Fred, the weather. Yeah, the weather was really bad," Maggie responded, not being totally sincere about the reasons she really stayed in Detroit. And that was because of the prospect of her seeing Freddy, which did not happen the way she had anticipated. Then Fred replied, "Yeah, the weather was bad here too, and when I called your parents' house, I was surprised that you weren't there. But again, I guess the weather was too bad for you to continue on the road to Flint. Is that right?" he ended up asking her. Then Maggie replied, "Yes, honey. Like I said, the weather was really bad." Fred added, "Oh, by the way, do you know you almost kicked me out of the bed last night? You were moving around so much, and I didn't realize you called me Freddy sometimes. You've never called me that before, but you did last night. You know, you must have been very tired," Fred said, thinking that she was using an extension of his name and not realizing the truth behind her restlessness over the night. "Oh, yeah, I was really tired," Maggie replied. She did not prolong the discussion on her restlessness the previous night, and certainly she did not mention to Fred that the source of the name that she repeated was not an extension of his name, but rather the name of her former co-worker, Freddy. No, Maggie would never knowingly say that name in front of Fred, at least in such a way that would suggest a passion she had for that former co-worker at the time. Maggie still wondered what kind of explanation she would give Fred for returning home early from her weekend trip to Flint, if the question came up. She thought she would have to explain why she had not visited her parents and come home so early at some point. Then, after further thought, she realized that Fred had given her the answer moments earlier, and it would be her excuse. Then she rationalized, "Why, the reason was the weather, of course." Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Fred and Maggie prepared to attend church after they arose from bed and had breakfast. It would not be during morning worship, but rather a service that was scheduled for later that evening. They got together with Courtney and Gates, as they usually did in the afternoon, but after their usual period of socializing, they had planned to attend a special evening service that was scheduled. At that time, the Reverend Randy Soule, the pastor of the church where the Mints and the Manleys regularly attend, had invited a guest minister to bring the message. It was a popular pastor from an interdenominational church in town, the Reverend Martha Joy. In order to promote the event, Reverend Joy had released the title of her message a week earlier. It was The Spiritual Connection Between Ignorance, Knowledge, and Faith. Meanwhile, later that day, the Mints and the Manleys arrived at the church for the evening service. It was a full house with attendance probably well beyond the church's capacity of 500 people. The praise and worship session had already started, and the scene was electric. The buzz among the congregation reflected the anticipation for the guest minister's presentation for quite some time now. They were just excited about what they were about to hear. Reverend Joy was well known for moving large audiences, so those in attendance just waited patiently for the minister's remarks. After an extended period of worship and praise, Reverend Soul came to the podium to begin the main portion of the evening's festivities. After a few preliminary remarks, he began to introduce Reverend Joy to the audience. As much as I'm enjoying this praise and worship service, we must move on to the main event tonight. We are all so thrilled to have Reverend Joy with us this evening, and you're going to witness the preaching of the word like you've never heard it before. Trust me, Reverend Joy will set your souls on fire. Well, enough of me talking. I'd like to introduce to everyone the Reverend Martha Joy, pastor of Life Interdenominational Church here in our city. Let's give Reverend Joy a warm welcome.
Thank you, Reverend Soul, for those kind words. I'm so glad to be here at your fine church tonight. I've heard a lot about what you all are doing over here, and all of it is good. Well, let's get right into the word. My brothers and sisters, I want to speak to you from my subject, while we're all believers, we're not all the same. Just take a look at the four Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament. While Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all gave an account of the life of Jesus, they all gave a slightly different version of what happened. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, I love the energy that's in this place tonight. Well, that's just like what the Holy Spirit does. He provides a spiritual awakening inside the believer, and in many cases, it's manifested in shouts of glory to His name. Amen. Praise the Lord. To continue with my subject for this evening, church, just like there are differences in the Gospels, there are also differences among believers in a number of ways. Why, this is the reason that there are so many denominations among churches and so many churches within any one denomination. People tend to gravitate to places where they feel the most comfortable, and that's fine, but I want you to get the main part of my message tonight. We as believers can be divided based on three things, and these three things are ignorance, knowledge, and faith. First, let me say that we are certainly affected by ignorance, all of us. Ignorance is a bad sounding word, but all it means is that we don't know something, and we have all been ignorant at one time or another. Spiritually speaking, however, it means that our lack of knowledge of the word limits our ability to overcome our challenges. Just as the Bible says to us in John 8 and 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But you know what? If you don't know the truth, or if you know the truth and don't abide by it, you will still reap the consequences of your actions. You will continue to be bound and not become free. And certainly you are not likely to overcome your problems. I'm here to tell you this, church, that I don't want to get stuck on being ignorant, because being enlightened is better any day. And I'll tell you what, if you know, that is, if you know the right thing to do and don't do it, then it's just like not knowing the right thing to do. You will still be bound in your ignorance. Let me move on and tell you something else. There is a second part to being ignorant. That is when we have a lack of knowledge of what may be happening in our lives. Things we're unaware of that can affect our actions for the better or for the worse. While it's our responsibility for knowing the word, it's when we are totally unaware of what's going on around us, no knowledge at all about our predicament, that the second part of ignorance applies. That's when God's word comes in and helps us in our lack of knowledge or understanding about something. Excuse me for a minute. Let me have some water, Reverend Saul.
There was a brief pause in Pastor Joy's message while her request was being made. Up to this point, the part of her message that Fred could not relate to because he was totally unaware of Maggie's actions was the second part. This is where Pastor Joy mentioned that in many cases, we simply are not in the know. We have a lack of knowledge about something. Well, this applied to Fred because he knew nothing of Maggie's transgressions with Freddie. Ignorance for Fred, in this case, was bliss. Knowing Maggie's transgression was something that would not have contributed to his contentment, and because he had no knowledge of it, he assumed that he was the only person that Maggie was romantically involved with. In fact, it probably would have made him discontented, to say the least, if he had been aware of the actions of his wife with the co-worker. Soon, the guest minister came back to continue with her message. Reverend Joy talked about the second way believers can be divided, and that is by having knowledge as opposed to being ignorant. She continued to elaborate on this point.
Sorry about that disruption, but anyway, sometimes we have the knowledge about something, but we run the risk of thinking we can overcome a known difficulty in our own strength. The Apostle Paul, formerly named Saul, had caused bad things to be done to Christians, but he was ignorant of what he was doing until he was changed on the Damascus Road. He gained firsthand knowledge of God in that encounter and abided by what he learned. And because of his change in spirit, motivation, and purpose, he went through much persecution. However, Paul is credited with writing most of the New Testament for us to take advantage of today. And without that knowledge, the knowledge that God is there for us, we can't overcome anything until we receive his help, whether we realize it or not.
After elaborating further on the second thing that makes believers different, the role of knowledge, Pastor Joy continued.
And that brings me to the third way we are different from each other, and that involves our faith. If we have the faith to go along with the knowledge we may have, we can effectively apply our knowledge to overcome any circumstances we might have in our life. Knowing that it is really God who is helping us and not just our knowledge that makes us overcomers. And you know, people, you just have to believe that fact. The fact that God is the source of your help. It's just a fact that all believers have different levels of faith. And speaking most generally, there are two categories of believers. Those who have much faith in God, and those who don't have as much faith. And by the way, none of us really knows what level of faith we're operating in until we're tested in some way. But regardless of that, let me tell you, people, in the world we live in today, it's much better to be in that first category, the one where there's much faith. More realistically, however, all of us are somewhere along the continuum of faith between having a whole lot of faith and having just a little. And you know what? It is not for any of us to say what level someone else is operating in. We just have to grow at our own pace, in our own level, and that comes only through experience. And really, depending on your circumstances, whatever your circumstances are, your level of faith will determine whether you overcome the adversity you may be facing or whether you're defeated by it. And don't worry about our differences, because we are all different, different levels of faith, different personalities, and different desires. Yes, we have differences deep down within us as to what we desire. And the good news is that God will honor what we sincerely ask for. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37:4 that whatever you desire, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He will give us the desires of our heart. He will provide for you if you delight yourself in what pleases Him. Yes, your belief in God is the key. He will give to you, not based on your parents' desire for you, or even your spouse's desire, or maybe your friend's desire, because their desires may be different from yours. Yes, the scripture says whatever you desire, He will give it if it's in line with His will and if you have a sincere desire to please Him. And of course, you must ask Him for it. The exciting thing is that this desire I'm talking about is tied to our spirit, which lasts forever. I like the scripture that says, and I refer to it a lot, it says this: all things are possible if we will believe. The knowledge that is available to us is revealed in the Word of God. And if we believe that Word, we can overcome any circumstance or obstacle placed in our path. So as I close, I thank you, Reverend Soul, for inviting me to speak to your congregation tonight. I pray that everyone here has been richly blessed from hearing the Word. But I also want to remind everyone that lasting blessings come from doing the Word. You must put it into practice after you have heard it. God bless you, and good night to you all.
After such a dynamic message by Reverend Joy, the buzz that was in the air before the minister spoke remained for several minutes as songs and praise continued. Let's take another break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. A lot in Reverend Joy's message resonated with Fred as well as with Maggie, Courtney, and Gates. And yes, down through the years, God had been good to all of them. No one knew this more than Fred, who grew strength from songs and praise after the message. But more than that, Fred especially took note of the point made by Reverend Joy in her message about having a knowledge of the Word. He certainly studied the Bible and did his best to abide by its teachings. Fred realized that, as Reverend Joy said, with any level of faith, we can overcome anything that stands in our path. Fred certainly knew that with the little amount of faith that he had, he was able to be successful in his writing career. After all, he made the leap of faith when he decided to become an author, and he felt that God recognized his actions by providing him with the publisher he felt that he needed on the very first click of the mouse as he surfed the internet. The mystery in Fred's mind was the first point that the preacher made about sometimes we don't have the knowledge about what is going on in our lives. Being ignorant of some things that happened to all of us didn't resonate with Fred, because he had no knowledge of Maggie's relationship with her former coworker back at the law office where she once worked. Maggie also was affected by her lack of knowledge. She didn't realize her intended affair with Freddie would be with a married man. At that time, she had no knowledge of his marital status. Although this did not excuse her of her emotional attachment to Freddie, at least she assumed he was unattached when she entertained the feeling she had for him. Any one of us may find ourselves in both Fred and Maggie's position at some point in our lives. It's difficult to address the unknown, which is the reason it's necessary to pray that God will reveal to us the things we need to know that will help us along the way. This is why we are admonished through the scriptures to bear the infirmities of those who may be weaker in certain areas than we are. Both Fred and Maggie certainly had their weaknesses, and their good friends, Gates and Courtney, did more than Fred and Maggie realized to support them and keep them lifted in times of moral despair. So Reverend Joy's message had a definite impact on Maggie and, to a lesser extent, on Fred. After all, Maggie was the one who was convicted by what she knew, as Reverend Joy said in her message. That is, we sometimes know full well our indiscretions, like Maggie knew with Freddie, at least on an emotional level. And as for Fred, he didn't realize at the time about his wife's indiscretions and how it would affect their marriage. Fred's lack of knowledge about his wife's indiscretions would be, in a sense, a blessing in disguise. As the saying goes, sometimes there is bliss in ignorance. While this saying may have little or no spiritual value, we will see how far a lack of knowledge gets Fred in coming episodes. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, that whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind, there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.